Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be hanging out with us in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few short minutes. I want to remind you, though, if you go on to our Facebook page, you'll find a image there where you can win a pair of tickets to see Penn State and Minnesota coming up this week. Matter of fact, the game is Wednesday. If you'd like to go see the game on us, just visit Steve Jones Show on Facebook. All you have to do is share the image and like us on Facebook, and you'll be entered to win. We'll draw that here. Yeah, we'll probably draw that in the 4 o'clock hour today. That way the winner will have plenty of time to get arrangements to get to the game. Of course, it's been a very busy weekend with rumors all throughout the country on who the next coach at Penn State is going to be. Steve will be talking about that throughout the day, taking your calls as well at 800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can drive the Steve Jones Show, the conversation today. And by the way, if you want to have some fun too, we decided to put a little poll up on the Steve Jones Show website, stevejonesshow.com. Put some names on there of who you would like to see become the next coach. And believe it or not, it is a tight, tight race, including the link of, or including the last entry, which is someone that isn't on that list already. So check it out at stevejonesshow.com on Facebook. And we'll have more on the whole conversation of the head coaching position for the Nittany Lions coming up. But right now it's time for Inside Penn State Athletics.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Okay. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now, right now, we have a lot of people listening, a lot of people online. Want to watch him disappear?
Not really.
I have no idea what's going on. So that's, you know, I'm in the dark like everybody else. Okay? It's a nice, honest answer for you. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm not going to sit here and pretend I have information or anything like that. I don't. All right, so I am listening like the rest of you. We're going to talk with John Cooper from SaturdayDownSouth.com. Talk to him about tonight's championship game, but also going to talk to a little bit about Vanderbilt head coach James Franklin. Kind of a get-to-know-you thing, just in case. And Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle today. So, it is a process that, first of all, the people that really know are the search committee. we're in a different era right now as to how this is playing out. And the reason we're in a different era right now is it's played out between the search committee, the coaches, agents. It's being played out at that level. Twitter is certainly something that is a tool in all this, pro and con. And also, things have changed so much here in 2 years that a lot of sources that were maybe available here to, before aren't around. Things have changed. Looks like Craig Fitzgerald's leaving to take a job with the Houston Texans. So you'll have that change in the strength and conditioning program. But that position also was at the whim of whomever the head coach is going to be. That is a coaching position, being the strength and conditioning coach. And it was, it's, you know, while people say, oh, yeah, Fitz did great here. Yeah, he's fine. He did great. He did a great job here. That doesn't mean the next head coach wants him. He may have his own guy in mind. I mean, that's a coaching position. So you don't know. He certainly had uncertainty. I think when he had an opportunity to stay with Bill and go to Houston, he did. So you're going to have that change as well within the football program. Now, the next part of all this is that the game in Ireland, Blake Bortles has already decided to turn pro, and so is Storm Johnson. So, I mean, that's getting better by the day. Penn State may not have a coach, but...
I don't know, I was watching UCF going, oh, please make sure he goes to the NFL.
UCF's doesn't have players, so it's all working out fine in the end. Like, everybody is anxious to know who the head coach is. The players are anxious because they want to know who they're working with. What's his personality? What's the makeup of the staff? They have the biggest questions of all. They're the ones on an everyday basis are directly affected. The fan base is aching to know who the head coach is. Who are they going to jump in behind? What style of play do they bring to the table? What does it mean for the future of Penn State football? Yeah. Obviously, I want to know who I'm going to be working with. And so there's that air of mystery right now. Dave Joyner said, look, it's going to be a matter of days. Now, it seems like that statement was made 3 months ago because everybody's so anxious to find out who the head coach is. The reality is the statement was made Thursday at 11 o'clock. It's Monday. It still has only been a matter of days so far, okay? And so as anxious as everybody is, and I completely understand it, because, look, I'm as anxious as all of you to find out. I want to know. We really don't know who they've interviewed. We really don't know who has expressed their interest in it. And we really don't know where they stand in progress with all this. And here's the next part, and this part takes a little bit of time, so I want to make sure everyone understands that. I'm pretty sure that whomever reaches an agreement in principle with Penn State, they're going to have to vet. And 5 years ago, we'll vet him, it'll be good. But after what happened a little more than 2 years ago and the firestorm around here, you know darn well they have to vet the individual. That is not a two-hour process. So that takes a little bit of time, too. Because when they introduce the person, the only thing they want to have any questions about with that individual is about football. Simple as that. And there's nothing wrong with that, because not properly vetting hurt, temporarily hurt the Pitt program. They hired a coach and then had to backtrack, what was it, 2 to 4 weeks later? And then go a different direction. That's when they hired, I think they hired Graham after that. Notre Dame had to go through its situation where, with the resume of George O'Leary, which to me still doesn't quite, I don't quite line up on that. I mean, your resume is what you've done as a head coach. He already had a track record, for goodness sakes. What do I care what he said or didn't say or do in New Hampshire? But that's a different, but you got to follow what the rules are for said university and what they lay down as their level. So this is a process. And as anxious as all of us happen to be to see the answer now, a little patience. I wouldn't be surprised personally, and it's only a guess on my part, that by the end of the week we know. Everybody's free to talk right now. There's only one game left. It's tonight. Auburn and Florida State. Heard a lot of stories over the weekend about Al Golden, not Al Golden, up and down. Just let it play out. The search committee is properly quiet on all of this, because if I were on the search committee, I too would be saying nothing.
I'd turn my phone off.
Yeah, but I would just keep, you got to be able to keep it to yourself. And you've got to be able to sit down, work through the process. Maybe you pull a couple people aside that you trust that may help you ask the right questions. And I've talked about this myself, I mean, repeatedly last week when we did the show on Thursday and Friday, that you're going to have a pool of great candidates. So, I mean, part of it is, who do you connect with? Personality means something. And also, I've talked about, I want somebody to feel like Penn State is the job to them. That doesn't mean in 5, 6, 7 years, an NFL job comes up and they've done so well here, it makes sense, the whole thing, you don't want to lose them, but, okay? But I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 years, where now you feel like the entire program is their program. And that's something we don't have today a lot in college athletics and football and basketball. You look at, take Syracuse, Duke basketball, now North Carolina, Kansas now. We know what a Bill Self, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim coaching job looks like, because the program is all theirs. Every single individual in the program is their guy. So the entire approach, pro and con, is right there on display. There are no inherited players or anything like that. You don't have as much of that anymore. You don't have as much of that anymore. You look at Ohio State, for example. Okay, as well as Urban Meyer's done, he's still only going into his third year. And he didn't recruit his quarterback. Nothing wrong with that. He's an Ohio State quarterback. He's an Ohio State coach. I'm just saying, now, when I say what does it look like completely, your fifth year, your sixth year, where it's all your players. Guys that you hit on and guys you didn't. Staff that works together well, maybe one or two that don't. There's just so much transition now in college football. As I mentioned, Kevin Wilson is the dean of head coaches in the Eastern Division of the Big Ten. He's going to his fourth year. There won't be a single... Well, actually, when Mark D'Antonio, of course, will be there. Mark D'Antonio will be the only coach in the Big Ten in the Eastern Division where every recruit is his recruit. How about that? John Cooper, James Franklin, much more. We'll talk about that. Rich Scarcella, 406. Big show today, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Here from the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay. Make sure that we get these right. Bob Flounders does an outstanding job with the Patriot. And all the Patriot writers do an outstanding job, but we'll just recognize Bob here. And let's see. Resignations on the staff include Anthony Midget from safeties, Craig Fitzgerald, who's going, we know, to the Texans, Sean Hayes and Dwight Gault, who worked, by the way, with Fitz in the strength and conditioning program. Penn State had also received resignation letters from assistant coaches Charles London and Stan Hickson. We knew that Stan, of course, was going to go to the Texans anyway. People have asked about John Butler, and according to Bob's tweet this afternoon, as of 3 o'clock this afternoon, defensive coordinator John Butler is still on the Penn State staff. Bob says he has confirmed the resignations through Penn State spokesperson Jeff Nelson. Okay? So it gets everybody up to date. Fitz we knew about already. Stan Hickson we knew about already. Not in the least bit surprised about Charles London, who cut his teeth in the NFL. Anthony Midget, don't know what his status would have been. He's only been here less than a year, for goodness sakes. And Sean Hayes and Dwight Gault, not surprised that Fitz would take them with him because he's the one that hired them here at Penn State. So there's the situation on current staff with the Nittany Lions. You okay there? You didn't faint?
Not yet, no.
Okay, good for you. But that's according to Bob Flounders, Patriot News. And appreciate Bob's solid reporting on that. We bring in John Cooper, SaturdayDownSouth.com. Hi, John. Welcome back. Great to have you with us.
How you guys doing today?
Doing really, really well. Let's talk about tonight's Auburn. Well, before we get to that, tell us a little bit for the uninitiated in our area, because it's a name that's been brought up, and we have no idea at all whether this person has interest or whether Penn State is interested in him. We don't know. But tell us a little bit about James Franklin.
James Franklin is a CEO type coach. He's a dynamic recruiter. He's a dynamic builder of a program. You look at what he's done at Vanderbilt. I mean, they are rewriting their history book. And it's not in anything of the recruiting didn't just magically pick up. He inherited the program. He inherited a 2-10 team, took them now to 3 straight bowls, back-to-back bowl victories, back-to-back 9-win seasons for the first time in their history. Continually, over the last 3 years, every time we've spoken with Franklin, he is the most impressive SEC football coach that there is, bar none. He's more impressive than Saban in a press conference. He knows what he's doing as far as building a program, building a team, and it's only a matter of time before this rising star takes the reins of a big-time program. Now, that being said, is he going to leave Vanderbilt? How much interest does he have in Penn State? Well, I think he has a lot of interest in Penn State if it's the right deal. How much interest does Penn State have in him? Well, they should have a lot. I mean, you know, after Golden decided he wasn't going there and kind of took his name out of the running, whatever happened with that, you know, I think Franklin probably becomes the immediate guy. In their mind. So if you're looking for a coach that's going to build your program, a CEO-style coach, a dynamic recruiting base, the players absolutely love him. He's a players coach. Franklin would be the guy. I think he could take Penn State's program, turn it around, even with the scholarship limitations right now.
Well, that's being rolled back. So, I mean, he really would have a full shot here once he got here, because that's how close it is to being rolled back. He's an East Stroudsburg guy. That's where he went to school. And he's a guy from Langhorne. So it's not like he's not unfamiliar with the state.
That, and I'm sure he knows a lot of high school coaches around the area.
Yeah.
Knows how to get those prospects in there, builds great relationships. Like I said, this guy's a rising star. I mean, it's no, you know, it's not crazy that NFL programs want to hire him right now or at least give him an interview. I mean, there's a lot of interest. He's a rising star. I think he'd be a great fit. Selfishly, you know, I'd like to see him stay in the SEC. I think he's building that program. I don't think he would take just any job. I don't think he's looking to get out of Nashville or away from Vanderbilt. I think it's going to have to be the perfect opportunity. I think it's going to be have to be at a program that he feels that he can win a national title at.
Negatives to him?
Well, you know, the negatives to him may be, what if he's a, what if he's just a small college coach that really expounds, you know, really does well at, a, at an opportunity where he's not expected to. You know, what if he gets to the program, you know, where all eyes are on the program, a place like Penn State with a great tradition, rich history. They're going to win, want to win championships. At Vanderbilt, you're not expected to win championships. You're doing great if you win seven or eight games. You're doing unbelievable if you win nine games in a season and a bowl game. You get to Penn State, you're expected to win 10, 11, 12 games every year. You're expected to win the Big Ten.
Right.
Furthermore, in the national contention. So, you know, my only negative would be, how much do we know about him? What if he's just a small-time college coach that really excels in a smaller opportunity?
Well, and you know what? Something tells me he thrives on that kind of challenge based on, because I know Kevin Stallings a little bit, the basketball coach, because his son played baseball up here. And, you know, he probably thrives on a challenge like that. I know they run a fair amount of option in that Vanderbilt offense. Has he been an adaptable coach? Because I think you're looking at a possible draftable kid at Penn State in terms of the ability to throw the ball downfield.
Well, I think Hackenberg's a fantastic prospect. And, you know, his offense has kind of changed a little bit. But the one consistency is he's had a very strong defense. He's had some players step up that really adapt to the system. So he's taken his offensive fundamental system of what he wants and adapted it to the player's strength. This year they had a starting quarterback go down, Austin Carter Sanders. So he adapted the offense.
Good.
Yeah, they're running more option. They're running a lot of zone read stuff because that's what, you know, really fits the players and their strengths right now. No doubt in my mind, he could adapt to any type of situation, whether it's a zone rebase, whether it's a pro style, you know, with a drop back passer. So as far as him adapting to the type of players, that's a non-issue for me.
Is he a coordinator's guy, or that lets the coordinators run their respective shows? You mentioned he's a CEO, or does he get actively involved in play calling?
Well, you know, his forte is on the offensive side of the ball, and so he's a quarterback guy. He's going to be actively involved, but for the most part, you know, he has his hand in everything. So I think from a standpoint of an offensive production and play calling, you know, his coordinators really make the most of the calls. But, you know, like a true CEO-type coach, he's going to step in and, you know, if he feels comfortable in a certain situation, he's going to make the call.
Nothing wrong with that.
John Cooper from SaturdayDownSouth.com with us. John, I guess the last thing on him then, a lot of concern then for Penn State people would be that they'd see this as just not a destination job for him and as a stepping stone. How long do you think he'd be committed for a job like Penn State, and does he have aspirations for the NFL?
Well, you know, as far as the aspirations for the NFL, that's only really come about this year. Obviously, if you're a football coach and you want to compete at the highest level, some want to just stay in college and dominate. Some others want to take their game to the NFL, try to compete at that high level. You know, I'm not even sure he knows what he wants and what his future destination is at this point. I do know that he's not going to take just any job. So if he feels like Penn State's a destination job and not just the stepping stone, then he's going to take it. If he feels he can win a championship there, then he's going to take it. You know, I'm not sure that he's looking to get out of college football. I think he thrives in a certain type of situation. You get him in an in-home setting with any top prospect, and he's choosing between his school and some other Big Ten school, Ohio State, even Michigan. You know, nine times out of ten, even against the likes of Urban Meyer, you know, James Franklin's going to win that. So he's a fantastic coach. I think he really, truly loves working with college guys and recruiting high school prospects, getting to know their families. It's a whole different ballgame in the NFL, and I'm not sure he wants to go that route, certainly in the near future.
But he certainly has a big number because Vanderbilt is a private school. He actually has a decent number already in terms of the bank account every year from Vandy, doesn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, reportedly, you know, the financials aren't released to the public, but he's, you know, he's somewhere around, you know, $3 million a year, which is yeah. pretty hefty in the SEC, especially at a school like Vanderbilt. But there's no reason in my mind right now Vanderbilt shouldn't up his salary. If money is an issue, I think they should pay him for whatever he wants because college football right now is all about your head coach. In the NFL, it's all about your quarterback, but in college, it's all about your head coach. He's proven it. He can win it, and I think he could build that Vanderbilt program. He'd take it to new heights already. He could want to stay and build that program. I don't think money is a real issue. I think it has more to do with, you know, getting to that stepping stone, getting in an opportunity to win a national title.
And the reason we're talking to John Cooper about this is because this is the area he covers. So, I mean, we're not certainly picking one candidate over anybody else right now, but it was a get-to-know-you session about a guy that at least has been talked about by the fan base, obviously not by the search committee publicly because they're keeping things to themselves. Tonight's game, Auburn, Florida State. What has impressed you about each to get to this point?
Well, I think the first thing that jumps out about Florida State, they're so impressive at every single position. I mean, they have been built so tight. I mean, they have, you know, multiple big-time prospects coming out of high school. They've developed those guys, most talented team in college football, position by position, in my opinion. Even when Alabama was undefeated, I was saying this Florida State team is more talented. Whether or not they'll win the national title, whether or not they'll run the table, at that time was obviously largely unknown, but they were, to me, the most talented. They jump out. They are so fast. They're very athletic across the board. And furthermore, they got great coaches that really scheme up well. Now, they haven't faced anything like Auburn. You know, obviously the first thing that jumps about Auburn is the running game. I mean, running for over 330 yards per game, that just doesn't happen by chance. I mean, these guys are physical. They're fast. They were bullies along the line of scrimmage. This will be the best defense that Florida State has played, and Auburn isn't a great defense by any standards, but they have some good pass rushers.
Right.
They have the ability to create some certain type of situations. Ellis Johnson, defensive coordinator, has done a great job, you know, disguising some blitzes, some different schemes. So I think, you know, they're going to be ready, and, you know, it's going to be a great football game. Really looking forward to it.
And tell us a little bit about Christian Jones from Florida State, because I think, to me, he's one of the key guys in this game tonight because of the Marshall-Mason action and that jet sweep action they run.
Christian Jones, you know, ever since he's come out of high school, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's, what, 6'5", 6'6", who can run with any run, you know, any running back sideline to sideline. I think that's what stands out about Florida State. Not just Christian Jones, all their linebackers, all their defensive ends can run with all their running backs. So, you know, setting the edge is going to be primary tonight, and that's going to be all on Jones' game. And a great-looking prospect, and you know, so it's going to be up to him to set that edge, figure out what they got to do to you know, read this offense. It's all about, you hear coaches, and I hate when they say it, but you hear coaches say, I discipline. You really got to be so disciplined against this Auburn offense. I think the layoff benefits Florida State more. I think they have the prospects, certainly the players, the talent level to match up man for man in the front seven. But it's a whole lot different than saying they do and actually doing it with Auburn going, you know, 90 miles an hour.
John, thanks so much. Thanks for throttling down to about 20 to 30 miles an hour so we can understand everything. We appreciate it so much.
Sounds good, guys. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, John Cooper from SaturdayDownSouth.com. And again, Bob Flounder's Twitter report and confirmed through Jeff Nelson that Craig Fitzgerald, which we already knew about, was leaving. He's going to join the Houston Texans staff. He's taking Dwight Gault with him and Sean Hayes. That leaves Greg Miskinis there right now. Stan Hicks had already been rumored to go to the Texans. He officially resigned today. Some feel that Charles London might go, too. He resigned today. And safeties coach Anthony Midgett, and who knows about what his landing spot could or could not be, he resigned today as well. John, right now, that leaves on the coaching staff at the moment, in the building, Mac McWhorter, John Strollo, Larry Johnson, and John Butler. Those are the four right now that are, that would be in the building and what the status is. Now, John Butler is still, yes, a part of the staff as of right now. So there you have it. Oh, and by the way, Spider. He still has Spider there. And then Greg Miskinis would be the one strength and conditioning coach that's still there. Tim Bream, Wes Sohn in the training room. And your director of football operations, Kirk Deal. And that's it. That's what you have at this hour. By the weekend, we could see different activity there. But just so you know that they have all resigned. And Fitzy is evidently going to go down to Houston and join that staff. And when I see Dwight Gault and Sean Hayes, you got to wonder, by the way, if they are going to join Fitzy down there. They joined him here. So there you go. You okay there? You all right?
I'm great. I'm just following along here and just making notes as you go on.
Okay. But Bob Flounders is the one that gets, from the Patriot News, that gets credit for that story. That's his baby today. Mark Brennan, Fight on State, though, gets credit, by the way, for the Fitzgerald part, because he had that long before. So Fitzy, that's Mark Brennan, Fight on State. Everybody else is Bob Flounders. You okay there? You all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm just listening intently. I mean, you have to admit, it's been a whirlwind weekend the last few days.
And you know, and some people prefer you to be in this kind of role.
Some do.
Okay. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones along with the mime, Kevin Herr.
The mime?
Mime's not supposed to talk,
dude. Oh, yeah, all right. Well, I walked into that one, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Does it bother anybody here that the mime is talking?
Freaky.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, next half hour, if you don't mind.
Ah, sure.
I'm gonna be on the mark tomorrow. Being grilled by Lawrence.
I can't wait for that.
I think it should be a ratings bonanza. Speaking of the ratings, Rose Bowl up 9%. Rose Bowl up 9%. Orange Bowl up 7%. Fiesta Bowl up 7%. Cotton Bowl on over-the-air networks won the night. Orange Bowl on cable networks won the night. 30 million viewers on Saturday night for the Eagles game, by far exploding the competition around it. Yesterday's 49ers-Packers game, a 47.1 rating. The NFL. Amazing, isn't it?
You know, the one that I don't understand is the Arkansas State, Ball State bowl game being in the midst of the BCS run. I don't understand the placement of that game.
Well, it stands alone. It wasn't up against anything else.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. What was that? Was that the GoDaddy Bowl?
GoDaddy.com Bowl. Yeah. Ball State lost last night to Arkansas State. Ball State tried a field goal on the final play of the game to send it to overtime, and it was blocked. But the placement was the fact it was after all the NFL games and it stood alone. Well, that's fine. That ESPN has done a brilliant job, in my opinion, of taking hold of this bowl season, and each bowl has had its own spot for you to watch. The bowl ratings have all been up. Maybe the attendance hasn't been, but the ratings have been. And the ratings have been up. Expect the ratings to be up tonight. Even though I think Florida State is not only going to win, I think they're going to win with they're going to win handily.
You know me, I like the underdog. I didn't buy into that destiny stuff, though. I just think they find a way to win.
Does it bother anybody else that the mime is talking?
You know, you're going to do the whole 4 o'clock hour by yourself soon. But you know what? The worst part about it is that's probably what you want. Now you're not talking.
Is Rich Garcella going to be talking next hour?
Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 1115, Hummel's Wharf.